Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. I am Tom. This is the socialpodcastnetwork.com, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. How is it going? Whew. Better day today. Better day today. Great run this morning. Fucking like chariots of fire out there this morning. Just running. Feel good. Fresh. It's weird. Yesterday was a rough one for me. And I tried to do a podcast, you know, the day before. So what's today? Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Eddie Van Halen died. I talked about it on the other podcast. Just loved Eddie Van Halen. And he passed away. And I don't get that emotional. You know, when like my buddy Matt died, that one wrecked me. But I don't get that emotional when it comes to people passing. I feel it's like lucky. Good for them. You know, the selfish side of us, you know, are always hurt and upset, but you know, they're free from the burden of this life, right? They get to go and whatever's next, go enjoy it. But sometimes people die, like, I mean, the last time that someone died that really kind of bummed me out was maybe Chris Cornell. And maybe because just the music, you know, ties to my life and brings up memories and whatever it is that maybe makes emotions a little more accessible. Because like when my buddy Scott passed away, or just recently my buddy Chris, I'm like, okay, well, or Talen, my buddy Talen, he died. All these guys died. All my friends have died. And I'm sad. You know, Godspeed. But man, when Eddie Van Halen died, and that was on Tuesday, and it was, I was like, weird. You know, Eddie died. Knew he was sick. Not surprised. I'm slightly surprised. But I just read recently he wasn't doing well. So I'm not really that surprised. I think I'm recording over yesterday's podcast. No, I think I uploaded it. Whatever. Not surprised, surprised. But when it, you know, when the reality, the surrealness of it hit that he was dead, I was like, oh, geez. And so yesterday is when it really hit me. Talked about that on the podcast I did yesterday. And then my buddy and I, Carlos, we do the Into Deep Pearl Jam podcast, which is obviously about Pearl Jam. But Van Halen is twisted in a lot of people's lives and a lot of bands and a lot of influence. I mean, and I think I'm probably the same age as a lot of the guys in like Pearl Jam in the early 50s, mid 50s. And we grew up on Van Halen. You know, I was reading, you know, all these comments about people that, it, you know, when the Van Halen 1 had first come out at 73 or 74. I mean, I was alive, but I wasn't liking Van Halen. When I came into Van Halen, it was probably more of like Fair Warning kind of time. I mean, I had heard Running with the Devil, but Fair Warning. But all these people had comments about being a kid of the 80s and growing up in the 80s with this music. And I don't know, man. It was just a real tough day yesterday. And I was right on the verge of freaking crying. And, you know, I think it's just because it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun memories. A lot of great growing up times. You know, I was telling Carlos, I go, this band was so great because it was always about like drinking, summer, and chasing women. Three subjects that I'm quite fond of. We'll be right back. there. Someone's got the sound system over there. But whatever. How's it going? Just a little thought that I'm having. I'm still struggling with the passing of Eddie Van Halen. I mean, I'm fine, but you know, it's a just, I guess it's been a lot of reflecting and growing is in the time growing up and when life was easy. And so I still working on it, working it out. As far as today goes, I feel pretty damn good. Got up this morning, went for a run, ran with the doctor this morning on the beach. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful morning. Very, very grateful, full of gratitude. And, I was strong, felt light. I felt like my oxygen was well saturated. You know, the Apple Watch is now, the new Apple Watch is coming out. And the new thing on this Apple Watch is the oxygen sensor, the oxygen saturation sensor, whatever it's called, where it basically tells you if your blood, how the percentage of oxygen saturation in your blood. And I'm like, ooh, I could use one of those. Right. And then I watched the review. And this guy's like, it's not very reliable. The top of the wrist is the worst place to determine how your oxygen saturation is. They say the best place is on your finger. That's why they have those little machines that kind of clip on your finger. And I guess it shoots a light through the meat of your finger. And apparently the wrist is not a good spot. Doesn't really work very well. Like, you can take the watch off and hold it on your finger and you can get a better reading. But I'm like, do I need this? But it seems to be like the hot topic right now, oxygen saturation. And I guess with COVID, it's a thing. And I've had a couple times this summer and fall where I just didn't feel like my oxygen saturation was very, very good. And I was watching this thing last night, and the guy says that a sign of not having great oxygen saturation is heavy breathing, like struggling to catch your breath. And I can remember a couple times this summer where I've just not really had it, not great oxygen saturation, not getting the air, struggling a bit. And for some reason this morning, I felt terrific. Not no shortage of air this morning. No shortage of oxygen. And I'm like, well, shit, what's going on? I have felt great through this whole COVID-19. I have yet to be tested. I haven't had a test. Because I felt, if something had popped up or I felt like I was exposed or something like that, maybe I would get a test, but I had nothing like that has happened. And now they're saying like getting the test like a snapshot in time. You can go get a test and then go to Walmart and get infected. So I'm like, well, I don't know if I really want the test. Well, apparently Walgreens now where I live is giving this test because now every day there is a line of cars circling the Walgreens. And I'm like, what in the fuck is going on here at Walgreens? And my wife's like, they're getting tested. I was like, oh, okay. Don't know. Not sure. It's crazy. But I know that I feel pretty good. I'm pretty damn lucky. I don't have a lot going on. Let me see. Let's read something. Let's find something. Let's read something that makes sense that somebody else said, not me. Let's find it. Let's see. Such a good song. I'm on fire. Right. Daily Reflections. I'm getting rid of these. I'm going to buy little mic stands. I can't stand that sound. All right, here we go. Daily Reflections. I have said nothing. Uh-oh. I'm going to have to call her back. Let's see. October the 8th, it says daily inventory. And when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. I love that. That is some good stuff right there. That's one of my, I think that's one of the favorite, my favorite things about getting sober was being able to promptly admit it when I was wrong. I was beginning to approach my new life of sobriety with unaccustomed enthusiasm. New friends were cropping up, and some of my battered friendships had begun to be repaired. Life was exciting. And I even began to enjoy my work, becoming so bold as to issue a report on the lack of proper care for some of our clients. One day, a coworker informed me that my boss was really sore because a complaint submitted over his head had caused him much discomfort at the hands of his superiors. I knew that my report had created that problem and began to feel responsible for my boss's difficulty. In discussing the affair, my coworker tried to reassure me that an apology was not necessary, but I soon became convinced that I had to do something. Regardless of how it might turn out, when I approached my boss and owned up to my hand in his difficulties, he was surprised. But unexpected things came out of our encounter, and my boss and I were able to agree to interact more directly and effectively in the future. I'm not sure what to make of that. Sounds like a Karen. I got to see. Let's see. Did this person go around? I was beginning to approach my new life in sobriety with unaccustomed enthusiasm. Unaccustomed enthusiasm. What does that mean? That's kind of falls into that same, or at least reminds me, or I compare, if I'm going to compare a little to my story, with the shopping carts. You know, all of a sudden I was great, right? I'm going to take the shopping cart all the way back to the store. But was I doing it rightly? Paying attention more to who noticed that I did it more than the task itself. So, unaccustomed enthusiasm, I kind of get it. New friends were cropping up and some of my battered friendships had begun to be repaired. I can totally relate to that. Life was exciting and I even began to enjoy my work. It's great. Becoming so bold as to issue a report on the lack of proper care for some of our clients. Okay, here we go. So, for me, and this is something that I have to be careful with. I need to be careful with this. When I read this, I'm thinking of me being careful with this. Are you doing this rightly? Even began to enjoy my work, becoming so bold. So bold. What does bold mean? Amazing? Phenomenal? Amazing in my own eyes? This is the stuff that, you know, and it doesn't sound like this is a problem for this person, but to me, I would have a bit of an issue with this, and I would have to be careful with this. Becoming so bold as to issue a report on the lack of proper care for some of our clients. One day, a coworker informed me that my boss was really sore because a complaint submitted over his head had caused him such discomfort at the hand of his superior. I knew that my report had created the problem. So, yeah. What's it think? And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Did this person say they were wrong? Let's see. had caused him so much discomfort at the hands of his superior, I knew that my report had created the problem and began to feel responsible for my boss's difficulties. In discussing the affair, my coworker tried to reassure me that an apology was not necessary, but I soon became convinced. You know, that is one of the crazy things about sobriety, is these new emotions. You know, I shared about it the other day. All these emotions came flooding out. Care, caring for people, doing the right thing, protecting animals, taking the car. I was so numb for so long, so drunk and drugged for so long, that when the emotions started coming out, I was like, whoa, this is new. And I don't really feel like I drank or drugged to hide emotions. It wasn't really my thing. I just drank or drugged to, I think, score chicks. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't because I was sad and I wanted to drink the blues away. We were having a good time. So when the alcohol and drugs went away and the emotion showed up, you know, it was a challenge trying to figure out. Actually, I did not figure it out. I just did, and then I would be kind of steered around with shame and guilt. Because I would try to do things in the spirit of doing it for the right reason and learning that it was for the wrong reason, and then ended up feeling bad about it. But learning, you know. Shame and guilt got me sober. Shame and guilt's also helped me, you know, stay sober and shaped my sobriety. let's see, caused him much discomfort at the hands of his superior. Excuse me. I knew that my report had created the problem and began to feel responsible for my boss's difficulty. In discussing the affair, my coworker tried to reassure me that an apology was not necessary, but I soon became convinced that I had to do something. It was wearing them out. And you know what? I would suspect when this has happened to me, and it has, I'm not sure that I was properly motivated in my submitting this complaint. I guess what this person did, a report. You know, maybe there was some... listen, when you're new to sobriety, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. You know, you're submitting reports. You think that they're justified for one reason, when in the end it was a whole other reason. You have to be careful. That's why they say don't do anything for the first year. Just sit there and shut the fuck up. Don't be issuing no reports. Yeah. Zip it and flip it. Here we go. I became convinced, yeah, shame and guilt showed up, that I had to do something, regardless of how it might turn out. So, yeah, and I don't know the situation, but this is a great opportunity or a great learning experience for trying to understand about doing things rightly. It might look like the right thing to do, but is the motivation behind it correct? Rightly. But unexpected things came out of the encounter, and my boss and I were able to agree to interact more directly and effectively in the future. I'm wondering if the boss is like, listen, motherfucker, You want to write shit? Come fucking talk to me first, asshole. Yes, sir. Don't fucking put this out there. Let's handle shit. If we got an issue, come talk to me, and we'll figure it out together. Comprende?
Yes, sir. We have a new understanding.
I don't know the story. I'm kind of filling in what I think, but I know in my situation I've gone through this. Yeah, I noticed that so and so is doing this, you know, because I just feel like it's affecting the company. Now you're just trying to get him in trouble. You're just trying to fucking look good. You know when you do it. We know when we do that shit.
Ooh,
And then when it doesn't go bad, and when it doesn't go well, you know, when you're the reason, when this person's already considering making an apology or making an amends for something they thought they were doing, nah, come on. You know, I think I talked about this in the podcast in the past, just recently, I think, which was, you know, I have to think everything through. Everything that I fucking do, I have to think through. Everything I say, everywhere I go, everything I do, I have to think it through. Because you never know when something like that might come along. And what are you going to do? I didn't know. I know, you know, it sometimes takes something like that to remind us, one, to think it all the way through, but sometimes we aren't doing everything rightly. That had nothing to do with getting sober. They didn't talk about that when I got sober. It's always, always, always evolving. And just when you think you get it figured out, then you take a break and it all comes back. And you start all over again. You know a little more each time, but you're still, like I said, you know, that drop the rock meaning. I looked at the book the other day. I'm like, I don't remember any of this. We were reading that book every freaking day. Love that meaning. Love that. If you have a chance to find the book, Drop the Rock, it's super great. Not AA approved. No, you know, whatever. It's a great, great book. But, you know, I took a break for a year or two from it. Now I don't remember any of it. My body says, nah, not important. So, you know, just when you think you got it, you don't got it. Just when you don't got it, you start getting it. What hurts is probably good for us. How's everyone doing? Are we all right? We doing okay? Sobriety okay? I think we're coming out of a tough time right now. Did anybody watch the vice presidential debate? Oh my God. I like Pence, man. Pence was great. I'm not sure about her though. Until that fucking fly landed on his head. I was like, what? This guy's doing great. And this big giant black fly lands right on his forehead and just camps out. I'm like, I can't watch it anymore. Somebody tell the guy there's a fly on his head. You know, I like government. I like politics. I'm interested in it. I'm not a big, you know, I'm not studying it, but I like the process. And, you know, I was hoping the other night with the debates with Joe Biden and Donald Trump that, you know, the undecideds who are like me are completely undecided, you know, could be maybe won over one way or the other. Didn't happen. It was a debacle. I'm more undecided now than I was before. So I'm like, oh, maybe I'll watch the VP, because they say that, listen, if you vote for Biden, you're really going to vote for Harris. That's going to be the president, because Joe Biden is just too old or whatever. I don't know if that's true, but that's what folks say. So I'm like, well, I should probably watch this. It is amazing how these people will avoid answering the question. And the question that I was watching was that, you know, Trump's trying to force in this Supreme Court justice, and Pence is like, listen, so if we get this person in the court, you're going to stuff the court, which means they're going to add more seats. I didn't know that you could do that. I'm not sure I was aware of that. But he kept saying, are you going to stuff the court? Are you going to, if you don't get your way with this Supreme Court judge choice, which is a woman that they're kind of rushing in, if you don't get your right choice, then you're going to add seats. You're going to stuff the court. And she wouldn't answer it. She would not answer the question. And I was like, huh, answer the question. Can they do that? Can they just add more seats? I didn't know that. I don't know. I'm a hairdresser. That's about it. Yeah, I'm just kind of sharing, throwing it out there today. I'm still, you know, still bummed out about it. My old boy, Eddie, he struggled with alcohol big time. I don't think that's what killed him, but, you know, he had his ups and downs with the battle of that disease, and I hope he died sober. I mean, I think he did. I mean, in the end, he had it pretty together. But yeah, it was just a real sad time, and just like every time something like that from my past dies or something happens, it allows me to sit and kind of, you know, think back on the early days of my life and how great they were. The theme music of Van Halen running in the background, right? Just super lucky. So, anyway, I hope everyone's having a great day. We'll talk to you later.